three, two, one. Your Oregon members, supported by the Greater Portland Convention and Visitors Association, have extended a formal invitation to you to hold your convention in Portland.
Well, yes, that was what our intention was, and there's no question in that respect. I would like to see that kind of a decision, and you know what it is that said that we're going to come up that short, and how they arrived at those figures. I'm not even in a position to dispute what they're saying. I do want to see what they had in mind. We thought we did a fairly accurate job in looking at that, and I presumed when we came up with the figure that was to accommodate taxing districts for the loss they had. That was my presumption.
But if it's $200 million, if they're right, are you saying you will go ahead and replace it if the plan passes intact?
If they're right on their presumption, I will look at it, yes. And really intend to. I don't want to leave them short. It's not my intention to leave local government short.
Do you believe the criticism of your tax plan is becoming partisan?
No, I still don't feel that way, although one would naturally assume it might be. I still have problems figuring out why they have trouble moving this plan through the legislature under the deadline that they have, but I'm not going to make that presumption yet. I think that they're trying to face it in good faith, and it may very well be that the legislature is a little gun-shy, having gone through 11 as rapidly as they did during the special session and seeing the defeat both of 6 and 11. They want to be a little more certain about what they're doing before they pass it out. So I'm going to give them the full benefit of the doubt, and I've had no clear indication that that's the case.
Has one of your members, one of the members of your staff, talked to or reprimanded or spoken with Representative Schoon about criticizing your plan in public?
I'm not aware if that's the case. I do not know of it. I have not.
Are you concerned about the criticism that he has been making of the plan in committee?
No, not really. I think he's entitled his opinion, and I've noticed that he has, but I'm not really all that aggravated by it.
As time goes on,
Bill Wells's question. When my hometown people were talking to the revenue committee yesterday, they also said the first year would cost them roughly $500,000 to implement the plan, and every year thereafter would be something like $525,000. Because of the different kinds of problems that have to do with computer runs and whatever. I think you've earmarked something like $1.8 million for everybody, for the entire state. And that's also one more area where you might have a shortfall if their figures are correct. What kinds of problems do you see if they are accurate?
I'm not sure that they are correct. Again, you're asking me questions about something I want to see before I make direct comment on it, how they arrived at it. It is true, however, and I think it's important to note that we did provide money for that. I do not believe on a continuing basis, however, it would cost that much. It would seem to me just setup is what would be costly, and I don't think on a continuing basis it would be that kind of heavy expense. So when they say to me it cost them $500,000 to start with and would cost them $500,000 annually, I'm a little bit suspect of those figures. I think it would cost them a lot to set it up. I do not believe it would continually cost them to keep it going.
Well, this is just your residential properties and those other kinds.
There's a typical, again, I don't want to be unfair to people, but there's a typical hysteria when something new comes down the pike, and they want to make sure that they're protecting their budget. And I think that's an appropriate thing to do. Again, though, before I make any direct commitment, I want to see how they figured, what they figured. I wish they would have shared it with me.
A week ago, Governor, you were quite optimistic about legislative approval of your tax program and submission to the voters by April the 3rd. You still feel that way after another week of hearings?
Yes, I do. I feel that way because I know they're really working very hard at it. I know that the legislative revenue is working very hard at it and staying up late hours. That proves to me that they feel very strongly about trying to meet that deadline. So, yes, I do. I see no signs of what I would call heel dragging at all. I think they're giving a good, honest shot at this thing.
Harvey Yates and told the Revenue Committee, or actually warned the Revenue Committee, that if they don't approve basically the plan you recommended, that the people of Oregon are going to present them with something worse. What's your reaction to that?
My whole concept in regard to a tax plan is not trying to do something under the threat of something else occurring. I'm just presenting to the legislature what I think Oregonians want, and I might say to you also that I have a sense that the Oregon legislature, at least the leaders, are going along that same line. They're not trying to react to a threat of something else coming on. Let's try to head that off. And so that's my reaction to it.
Following that, just a little detour off that. One of the concerns expressed by some members of the committee has been that under your plan, if adopted intact, sent to the people, the property tax relief portion sent to the people, and statutorily the income tax surplus rebate and the indexing are adopted, that if the property tax relief, and all this is hypothetical, and we both understand that, but if it is defeated at the polls, an initiative does, either six, old six or new six or whatever, comes on and it passes, then the state, through all the income tax rebates and indexing, has committed itself so much financially it can't bail out local government at that point. Now that's some concerns have been expressed by members of the committee. Could you comment on that?
I understand that concern. I understand the word we use in these high flying circles is scenario. The scenario is an interesting one and is a possible one. And I suppose if I put my mind to work, I could come up with some other horrible ifs. I'm not sure that Oregonians are going to react that way. Oregonians, I think, certainly demonstrated a great deal of restraint and I think a great deal of wisdom as they approached the polls last session, particularly in terms of the gubernatorial race. And, pardon me for that aside. Really, as they faced the tax measures, I really think that they showed a considerable amount of selectivity. And so I'm not sure that we can expect them all of a sudden to go off their rocker. It's possible, yes, Annie, and I think that it's something that should be considered. It's difficult to say if that is going to be the scenario. It's one, and it's one, incidentally, to be considered.
Governor, let me change the subject a bit. You mentioned last week that energy was your next priority. Environmental and consumer groups met last Friday at a press conference discussing criticism of what they've heard as elements of a potential reorganization. Also opposed the appointment of Kelly Woods as your acting director of the Department of Energy. That came up again yesterday before the Senate Energy Committee, and there was a full house of what appeared to be opponents of his confirmation, and also no one there in support of the governor's office. And I was curious if you talked to that and the other reorganization.
Let me talk first to Kelly Wood. I think he's being prejudged and unfairly. I happen to be extremely confident with this man's ability to come right in a situation that at the present time, as you know, we are considering some changes in the department. I thank him for his contribution to government, and I'm very happy with him. I don't know that we need to have an anti-nuclear or a pro-nuclear, and I don't think Kelly's a pro-nuclear, that is. If they're looking for an anti-nuclear, I'm not sure that's the kind of appointment I want to make any more than I want to make a pro-nuclear appointment. Kelly, I think, is doing a good technical job, and I'm very happy with it. On the other one, I smile because I heard on a daily broadcast report about what this plan of mine was and their objections to it. Here I am, the governor of the state of Oregon, listening to this broadcast about what they don't like about my plan, the elements of which I were hearing for the first time on radio. So what I'm saying to you, that it's interesting to me that they're opposed to a plan that I do not yet know exists. And I think if they just please give me a chance just to take it easy and relax, and I can assure them that it'll be a very responsible plan.
Governor, a follow-up to that. Yesterday, also in committee, Dr. Wood seemed to back off from the idea of joining the Department of Energy with the PUC, and I was wondering if that was his own opinion. He did make that clear, if that was his own opinion, or if you had abandoned that idea.
What did he say?
He said he was no longer in favor of it, and then the OEC said they were not adamantly opposed, just opposed.
He's anyone for tennis? That would be an opinion of his. We've not really led him in any direction. And again, I think some people are making some presumptions on what the plan is. I'm getting the wrong trail. We're just considering every single possibility. I think that's a wise thing to do. I think to analyze what we're doing, and every detail is a worthwhile thing to do. I don't think there's any sacred cows anywhere that need to be left alone and untouched. And we may stay where just exactly where we are when we get all through with it. I'm not saying we will or won't. I'm just saying there is no plan yet. And no one should get excited about a non-plan.
One of the another problem or discussion raised at that press conference was, should technical decisions like the siting and safety of nuclear plants or new thermal plant be left to the technicians, or should they be, should the public policy be set by lay members, considering technical expertise is simply a part of the plan? What's your feeling about that? Do you think
I have no identified position on it. The question you asked is a question we've asked, and we're dealing with it, and we've not made any decision on it. Any other?
Do you have any plans to communicate with President Carter regarding the budget for the National Forest Service and that impact that it will have?
Yes, the reforestation we already have.
What have you told him?
I sent a telegram to him. Pardon?
In effect, what did you do?
In fact, as we said to him generally, I wish I had it, I don't have it handy here, that is a mistake, basically because $1 in reforestation, in fact, returns $3 to the Treasury. In other words, it's an income-producing thing they're doing instead of just a continual tax eater, and that we thought it was a mistake just on an economic basis. Beyond that, however, it made some really tragic, I think, long-range economic impact, negative impact on Oregon. Those are generally the comments we've made.
Governor, there seems to be some interest on the part of certain members of the Ways and Means Committee. If Congress cuts the extension budget and the federal forestry budget, of substituting Oregon General Fund dollars for the lost federal dollars to keep the thing going, well, I can understand how that works in extension. Can you conceive of any circumstance or situation in which this state could or should invest state tax dollars in federal forests, and is there any way after that money is invested harvesting policy can be controlled by the state rather than the federal government?
Well, if it's possible for us to become involved in the harvesting process, it might be well worth looking at. For us, however, to make an investment to the benefit of the U.S. Treasury, Oregon is not that wealthy a state that we can afford to carry the United States of America, and I think we need to reanalyze that. It's a discussion. You heard me talk about Oregon taking over management of the public forest lands. That was considered as a far-out idea. That may be less of a far-out idea, that we can at least manage that forest in a way that we know is a good way to handle that management. We're distressed, I think, with what's happening in the budget, but I must tell you fairly that the president is doing very much like I am doing. We're making some tough decisions. I'm just trying to point out a mistake that I believe, when I say to you $1 invested in reforestation returns $3. That's a producer, not a continual drain on the Treasury. And so I feel, you know, better about commenting on that than I might on some other programs.
But do you see any practical way this biennium that the state of Oregon could substitute reforestation dollars for that which the federal Treasury will not invest?
No. I fiscally, I don't see how it can happen.
Are you in touch with the Oregon delegation about any other ways they can voice their concern?
We have said that we support them, and already Senators Hatfield and Packwood, I believe, have made comment, not sure about our congressman, that we do support them. They made the same comments generally as I have. We, incidentally, will be talking with them late February. We'll be back at the National Governors Association meeting, and we're setting up meetings with each one of the congressional delegation.
Governor, if I could ask you about your tax program. You said that you remain optimistic this week, and you were last week. If at some point in the not-too-distant future you detect that your plan is in some trouble, are you going to go directly to the people, take a campaign to the people in an effort to bring some pressure on the legislature to move your plan out, travel around the state, that kind of thing?
Well, yes, we will appeal to the people of Oregon and ask them to find out if, in fact, they support it. I have to say that I was impressed with a recent poll that I saw without any motion on the part of the governor's office, 70% in support of the program. I think back to my campaign, I'd love 70%. Man, that's really a mandate. And so even without that, but if it drags any further, I think it's important that we get some public input. We'll do what we can to see if that's entirely possible.
What do you mean when you say you go to the peace table? You mean that you will go in and circulate an initiative?
No, that's not what I mean. I mean in communication with them. I have some pretty good lines of communication as a result of my campaign, and I think we can make some instant contacts with people all over Oregon as a result of that, and we're thinking that we may have to take that route down.
Governor, yesterday for the House Transportation Committee, TriMet made its proposal or discussed its proposal on light rail, and Representative Whalen said that it might make sense, rather than to pay the state share in three installments, to pay it all at once to avoid the cost overruns and inflationary impacts that might prevail through 1984. How do you feel about that kind of?
I don't think TriMet can move that fast to absorb all the money at one time, number one. Number two, the inflationary impact as we see it, and when I say that to you, with the $5.5 million this biennium, it's balloons in the middle, if I recall, and I can't give you the figure, and tapers off at the end, that we anticipate the ultimate cost to be something like $21.3 or $6 million over the six-year period of time, about a $3.5 million balloon in there. If the representative can find that money and by moving things around and cutting out something else in the budget, and if he feels that's the way he ought to go, he's certainly welcome to look at it. I'm not sure that holds that kind of a priority for us to pay up all at once, because there are so many other programs in our own budget that's pretty snug. I'm not sure that's a priority item, in other words, to pay it up all at once versus all the other things state government has to do.
Vic?
Yes.
What do you mean by instant contact?
Oh, we have communication addresses of people, our county chairman. We've got, out of my campaign, I ended up with a tremendous volunteer group of volunteers, and we can communicate with them if they're interested in what we're doing, a newsletter or whatever way we need to do it. I don't have any plan of attack in mind. I just know that's a pool of people available to communicate with if we can and need to.
At what point would you be likely to take that step?
I can't give you a time on it. Pretty soon, I would suppose, because we still have to get that plan out of here by the 28th. That's the HGR. The text, the statute, they don't have to move that rapidly on. They've got another month to work on that.
I wasn't interested so much in time as what development would precipitate the action.
I think that time is the element. I understand what I'm trying to say, knowing how long it takes to put things through the body. Time, I think, is the element involved in this. If they delay another 10 days, we're getting closer to the 28th. It's that kind of a situation that I'm talking about. So that time really is the element.
Are you saying if you don't see a tax plan, the HJR forming up in about 10 days, you're going to turn your campaign volunteers loose on the legislature? Is that what?
Not necessarily. I may have some other things that I can do by talking to legislators. I'm not out of communication with the Oregon legislature, and I'm not really interested in stirring things up. I talk to them as reasonable people that they are, and I'm sure they'll see the wisdom.
Excuse me, Vic. Just what would you be communicating to all these old campaign workers?
Well, I think that if they're interested in the plan, that you've seen the form of communication we have describing the plan, that they ought to communicate with their legislators. Seems fair enough, don't you think so?
Governor, prolonged coal spells tend to refocus public attention on utility bills. Now, your proposal to have a three-man commission sort of implies that three is better than one. Given the statutes, how does a three-man commission dovetail with the public's sort of impression that the Public Utility Commission office is in cahoots with the utilities?
Now, we ask that once more.
How does your proposal to expand the commission to 3 members dovetail with the public's perception that the commission is sort of in cahoots with utilities as far as those rates? I mean, does that, what are you saying to the public in terms of their concern about high rates and your proposal to expand the commission to 3 members? Or are you saying anything at all?
No, my purpose in making a recommendation for a 3-member commission is that the commission itself deals with more than just utility rates. Rail, auto freight, a variety of things of that kind. And that it was a matter of the commissioners being able to become expert in those different fields, and that's why I made the recommendation. It had nothing to do with whether or not they're in cahoots with utilities or anything else. That's not my purpose.